The terrorist attacks in Paris are the main focus this week in the 2016 presidential campaign. Donald Trump called for a national database of Muslims. Ben Carson compared screening Syrian refugees to protecting children from rabid dogs. Jeb Bush called the fight against terrorism the war of our time. Hillary Clinton wants a no-fly zone in Syria. And Bernie Sanders said the U.S. must be tough but not stupid on ISIS.
Here and now, 2016.
Joining us this week for our weekly look at the 2016 race are Rebecca Cinderbrand, politics news editor for The Washington Post. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
And Rick Klein is with us, political director at ABC News. Hi, Rick.
Great to be with you.
And let me start with you, Rick. You know, this has been a week where we've heard a lot from the candidates about issues that they haven't had to talk about before, terrorism and national security, some shocking, and we'll get to that in a bit. But what stands out to you as foreign policy really dominates the agenda for the candidates?
The race is reset, but it's not necessarily any loftier than it was before. Clearly, voters are thinking about different issues, and candidates are responding to those issues and talking about ISIS and refugees and terrorism and global security threats in a real way. And I don't think there's any going back after Paris and after the most recent attacks. This is where voters' minds are going to be. This is where candidates' minds are going to be. But at the same time, it has brought out some unusual proposals. Some of the baser elements of our politics have been stoked by this, some questionable comparisons. And a moment for everyone to begin to just question the judgment of the would-be presidents.
Well, a WBUR poll in New Hampshire this week showed that defeating the Islamic State was the top priority for GOP primary voters in the Granite State. That poll showed Donald Trump solidifying a lead over Ben Carson. And this week, Trump suggested closing American mosques. He told ABC News he's in favor of a national database on Muslims.
Oh, I would certainly implement that. Absolutely.
What do you think the effect of that would be? How would that work?
It would stop people from coming in illegally. We have to stop people from coming in to our country illegally.
For Muslims specifically, how do you actually get them registered into a database?
It would be just good management.
So rival Republicans have called that idea un-American. Rebecca, what do you think? Is Trump's hardline stance attracting voters?
Well, this is the interesting thing about this moment. You know, in the wake of the attacks, there was this sense and certainly a wish by some of the campaigns, particularly Jeb Bush's, that now would be the moment that voters would turn to the so-called adults in the room, that they would want people with a certain amount of gravitas and who brought a certain amount of foreign policy knowledge to the race. The fact of the matter is, when you have a traumatic event like the Paris attacks, there's often an emotional response. And so while voters don't want to see someone who doesn't appear to have a grasp of the situation, clearly Ben Carson's shakiness on this week has done him no favors with primary voters, Donald Trump's forceful response seems to have actually helped him or given him a bit of a boost. The first polls taken entirely after the attacks are starting to come out, and it looks as though he's inching forward or at least holding steady.
What about Marco Rubio, though? Here he is on Fox News last night. He said he was open to the idea of closing mosques.
I think it's not about closing down mosques. It's about closing down any place, whether it's a cafe, a diner, an internet site, any place where radicals are being inspired. It should be a place that we look at.
Rick, how's he doing? And I'm thinking of him in the same category kind of as Ted Cruz, that may be the establishment Republicans who are going to have to take on Trump and Carson if they do very well in these early states.
This is a big moment for Marco Rubio. His campaign is pleased with the turn toward foreign policy. They like his credentials. And there's been an interesting kind of lower level battle going on between him and Ted Cruz about who is a stronger voice on foreign policy, on national security, with Rubio pointing out some votes that Cruz has taken that would dismantle some of the counterterror measures that have been pushed traditionally by Republicans in the past. It is a big moment for Marco Rubio, though. Anyone who's watched these debates have seen how comfortable he is talking about the issues that he confronts as a senator on the Foreign Relations Committee and talking about the experience that he has had and he can bring to bear vis-a-vis these issues, as opposed to Donald Trump and Ben Carson and the governors who are running. He likes that. It would seem to play to his strengths. We haven't really seen a polling bump as of yet right now, but there are a lot of folks around Washington and beyond who believe ultimately this race could come down to those two 44-year-old first-term Cuban-American senators, Cruz
and Rubio.
Yeah,
it's so interesting that you say that because we did lose a governor in the race this week, another one, Bobby Jindal. The governors were thought to be the ones that would do very well, and it looks like they're not.
This was supposed to be the year of the governor in a lot of ways, and as Rebecca knows, we've seen them fade, and the ones who are still around not doing well in the polls.
Rebecca, let me ask you, Ben Carson arguably had one of the worst headlines of any of the presidential candidates this week. In the New York Times, it says aides agree Carson struggles on foreign policy. He likened letting in some Syrian refugees to the dangers of a rabid dog running wild.
Just like it would be foolish to put your child out in the neighborhood knowing that that was going on, it is foolish for us to accept people if we cannot have the appropriate type of screening.
Well, is he playing to the masses here? Because certainly a lot of governors have raised their concerns about refugees coming in. Is this going to help him, Rebecca?
Well, you know, first of all, you have to say right off the bat that, as our Chris Lizza noted today, Ben Carson may have had the worst week in Washington. He's just – it's been like blow after blow after blow, not just the story in the New York Times. There was the interviews and the shakiness on foreign policy. And one thing that's worth noting, not just the way that he's been attempting to use this issue the same way Donald Trump has with much less success – but also the way that what we saw this week in terms of that interview with the Times, with that senior aide who said the advisor to the campaign who said that he had a shaky grasp of foreign policy, it highlighted again the fact that, you know, if it was any other candidate, if it was Marco Rubio who had the sort of resources and grassroots enthusiasm and infrastructure that Ben Carson has, then this race might be over. But because of not just the weaknesses of the candidate himself, but somewhat the weaknesses of the people that he's chosen to surround himself with, he sees his status very much in the air.
But do you think that he is best positioned right now, if the election were held today, to win a state like Iowa? Ben Carson, Rebecca?
It's possible. And, you know, one of the interesting things we've noted and others have noted is the divide in Iowa between the evangelical leaders and conservative leaders in Iowa and then some of the grassroots voters that you speak with. You know, the leaders, Ted Cruz, has made huge inroads. He has their minds. He has their hearts. When you speak to the voters themselves, they're still excited by Ben Carson.
Let's talk about Hillary Clinton, because she's been talking about ISIS as well. She gave a big foreign policy speech. She pushed back at Republicans who say that she's not going far enough by not using the phrase radical Islam to describe terrorist ideology. Here she is.
The obsession in some quarters with a clash of civilization or repeating the specific words radical Islamic terrorism isn't just a distraction. It gives these criminals, these murderers, more standing than they deserve. In the end, it didn't matter what kind of terrorist we called bin Laden. It mattered that we killed bin Laden.
Rick, she's walking a fine line here because she's not aligning herself totally with the Obama administration, but at the same time, she wants to not go too far away from his views on things.
This is the inherent and maybe eternal challenge of Secretary of State Hillary Clinton. She has to run on the Obama legacy to some degree, but she doesn't want to raise the ire of folks on her own side of the aisle who feel like there have been disappointments. And clearly for a general election electorate that's jittery right now, you have to worry about being too closely associated with the fact that we have a world that seems to be aflame in so many ways. So it is such a difficult line for her to dance. You saw it at the debate over the weekend in Iowa. You're going to continue to see it from her. She needs to march to her own beat on this, on foreign policy. But there's only so much she can do, given how closely associated she is and was with the Obama foreign policy.
Well, let me ask you about the other big Democrat in the race, Bernie Sanders. He gave his much anticipated speech on what is democratic socialism this week, and he seemed to like add maybe in the last minute a section on foreign policy.
So the next time that you hear me attacked as a socialist, like tomorrow, remember this. I don't believe government should take over, you know, the grocery store down the street, or own the means of production.
All right. So he seems to be distinguishing himself from Karl Marx there. His audience at George Washington University loved him, but he barely mentioned the Paris attacks in the debate last weekend. He's all about economic policy. Is he out of sync with voters at this point, Rebecca?
I mean, you know, on the one hand, you have to, you know, he's got message discipline. I mean, you know, candidates always strive for that. And certainly he's sticking to his message. He joined this race to talk about economic inequality, and that is what he's continuing to talk about. But what we saw in the debate, and again, with that kind of, you know, the way they pushed in at the last minute a couple of lines about foreign policy and the threat posed by the Islamic State yesterday, he's having a really tough time making a pivot. You know, if he's running to win, that's a problem. If he's running just, you know, to push forward his message as a message candidate, it's not necessarily an issue for him. He just wants to wait for the conversation to turn back to what it is that he wants to focus on.
Let me just ask you both real quick, what's the one thing we're not talking about that we should be? Just like 10 seconds, Rebecca.
I mean, you know, I think one of the things to keep an eye on, and Rick mentioned it earlier, is, again, this dynamic between Ted Cruz and Marco Rubio. Watch it continue to heat up.
Rick?
This is a short attention span society. It feels like everything's about Paris and ISIS right now, but things can change very quickly, as Paris and ISIS just showed.
That's Rick Klein, political director at ABC News. We've also been speaking with Rebecca Cinderbrand, politics news editor for The Washington Post, about this week in 2016, which, as we've said, has been really dominated by the attack in Paris. Thanks to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.